demand for STEM-educated workers is only going to get hotter. Think of it like plumbing, but with code. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton talks with a YouTube celebrity who wants to bring STEM to the forefront, especially for girls. That conversation starts now.
Hello, and thanks for listening. Automation in the labor force is only going to increase. More and more jobs may come online in the economy, but more and more of them will not require a human. That's one of the reasons STEM education gets such a megaphone. Science, technology, engineering, and math are subjects that typically don't get as much interest as other so-called softer skills.
In Emerson's survey, they found that less than 50% of girls are encouraged to go into STEM fields, which is substantially lower than boys.
This week, we talk with a YouTube celebrity and a new novelist, by the way, about his focus on increasing STEM awareness with a focus on getting girls involved in STEM at a younger age. Closing the gender gap in scientific fields is paramount, not only for diversity reasons, but also because diverse groups making decisions together tend to be more productive and profitable. According to a new survey commissioned by Emerson on American attitudes towards science, technology, engineering, and math, 2 in 5 Americans believe the STEM worker shortage is at a crisis level in the United States, since employers cannot find enough employees with the needed STEM skills and education. Okay, here we go.
Hank green like the color. Science communicator, I guess.
Science communicator, also first-time novelist, right?
Yeah, that's happening in about a month. I wrote a book about a young woman who has some mysterious things happen to her and becomes, as a result, very, very famous. And it is very fun and also very difficult and crushing for her.
Oh, you have a ton of creativity and a lot of energy, a lot of different channels that you've been using, including, of course, YouTube. Let's talk about your interest in STEM, and let's get a working definition of STEM first.
Well, that's science, technology, engineering, and math. It is the kinds of knowledge bases and jobs and careers that require, I think, like a pretty good understanding of mathematics, but also of, you know, how things like computers or machines or chemicals work.
I'm looking at some of the pre-press that they sent over, and there's a recent study that says 2 in 5 Americans believe that the STEM worker shortage is a crisis. Would that be anecdotally correct for you too?
I think what we're seeing is a lot of jobs coming online in the next 5 years or so, and not as many people to do those jobs. That's not the situation you want to be in. You want to have the workforce necessary to get the work done, to stay competitive, both for the country and for these companies. So I think that we might not be at a crisis right now, but I think we are headed in that direction, and that is why you probably heard a lot of people trying to encourage people to get STEM education.
Right. Encourage, especially in kids, right? Because it's their workforce that they're going to inherit this situation where you're like, automation is disruptive, right? And so how are you finding, especially because of your YouTube presence, how are you finding ways to, I don't know, engage younger people when it comes to STEM?
Yeah, I think kids are naturally curious. So we can find that in them and encourage that and say that this is a lovely attribute. I love this about you. You are wonderful because you have these great questions. But then there's also an element that's like, we need to work really hard. And part of your goal, I see this a lot in young people these days, is not just to like get a good job and like sort of live the life, but also how do I make the world a better place for myself, for my kids, for other people? And science, technology, engineering, math, that is a very, very good skill set for solving very hard problems. But it also, like, it is hard. That's why there aren't a ton of people who can just do it. You have to be well educated. And to foster that like love of hard work and that wonderful feeling of accomplishing something after you did work hard on it, I think that's very important, and that's something that I think about a lot with my own son.
So, Hank, let's let the rubber hit the road. What kind of jobs should we be preparing for? You know what I mean? Like, I was always think of it like not everybody's going to code like Mark Zuckerberg necessarily, but I think just maintenance coding and things like that are going to be important.
Right. I mean, when it comes to computer science, almost everything is going to have some component of it be computer science. So even just having, like, even if you're managing, it's good to have a sort of base level understanding of computer science, so you know the difference between like a 2-hour fix and a 2-week fix. Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily need to know how to actually do the work to understand the difference between those two things. So having that base is very important, and that is, I think that's a really important reason why we should be teaching more computer science in like high school and middle school. Emerson put together a survey and found that only 1 in 3 parents felt like their teachers had the resources to teach STEM subjects the best they could. We need to do a better job of that.
Absolutely. I could not agree more. What about STEM gender gaps? Is there a gender gap, and is it avoidable, I guess I'd say?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely more men in STEM stuff than women, for sure. I think figuring out exactly why that is, but also creating an environment where it's comfortable and people, like all kinds of people, feel included into that work. Part of that is having more women in that work, which we're getting more of. Part of it is encouraging young girls to be thinking about this as an option for them. And in Emerson's survey, they found that less than 50% of girls are encouraged to go into STEM fields, which is substantially lower than boys. But as we have more women in these workplaces, they become more inviting, welcoming workplaces for people who aren't your traditional engineer or scientist to sort of see themselves in that career and also feel welcomed into it.
I'm going to ask you a quick kind of an existential question. We're talking about STEM, of course, science, technology, engineering, and math. And I've also seen STEAM, if you throw arts in there, coming in. Mm-hmm. Do you think that dilutes the argument at all, or at least the attention maybe on the focus on this? We just pick one and stick with it?
I feel a little ambivalent about that. Of course, like one thing I want to say is like this is not the only way to make the world a better place. The arts are definitely a way to do that. I myself have found a blend of those things, and like I love to write about and communicate science, and so I'm very much doing both of those things. What I don't want to say is that, you know, STEM is important and like the liberal arts aren't important or something. But I do think that it's good to differentiate and to not sort of like have to include everything and everything else, because like if somebody was feeling a little left out, you know, but like at the same time, we do need to be clear about what we're communicating.
Absolutely. Hank Green, this has been a ton of fun. Thank you a lot for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
That was Hank Green. He's a YouTube science celebrity. For links to his YouTube channel, his new novel, and some of the sources he refers to, please check out the show notes that go with this week. The article lives at kgoradio.com. You can also find all of our podcasts, well, almost everywhere, really, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, etc. Just keyword search Techonomics wherever you get your podcasts. Coming up after the break, digital marketing and psychology. How are we being catered to online? And are there ways to fend off the more insidious attempts to market?
I think our use of technology has made us really enamored with this concept of innovation and newness. And so if companies can show us or prove to us that they are, in fact, new, that is a selling point that hasn't worked in the past. It works now, and we tend to fall for that.
That's national columnist and author Dr. Kit Yarrow. She's next, so please stick around. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.